You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Let's talk about the current state of the investigation into Dennis Rader and BTK and the possibilities of him being part of a murder that took place in Oklahoma many years ago. 1976, I believe, is the year that we're talking about. The bad wash day, bad laundry day, the allegations against him. What we're seeing recently is some infighting that has nothing to do with the actual investigation, but more so about personalities that are involved in this investigation. The DA, Mike Fisher, stating not that long ago that, I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, that there isn't a whole lot to go on at this moment. Sheriff Eddie Vierden seeming having a very different opinion, even putting together what he calls a nationwide task force with quite a few, you know, very good investigative forces on there, folks that are on this show, folks that you probably know as well, to try and dig into this. But now, beyond just them disagreeing, Eddie Vierden is suing the district attorney for libel, for making what he calls uninformed and ignorant comments about his investigation into BTK. If you dig a little bit deeper, you can see some of the politics of it. You can see the district attorney is not in favor of Eddie Vierden and his reelection. He's on the opponent's side. So if you're playing politics, it would make sense. If somebody's going to suddenly be a hero in some sort of historic crime, maybe you don't want them to have that victory. But at the same point, you'd be derelict in your duty, in your job, to try and prevent something like that from happening. But Vierden is quite a character, you know, very flashy, you know, throwing evidence around on television. He's an interesting guy. I don't necessarily question his motives, but I do question the desire for attention that he's been getting and been seeking out in this whole case. Where do you think this is going? Do you think this case has the legs that many want it to have, but in reality, does it?
You know, if it did have legs, I think that those have been taken out from under the case at this point. Yeah. You know, look, it is such a mess over there on the law enforcement side. We have a super easy target, man. This is a serial murderer, and there's evidence against him. It's pretty easy for the different entities in law enforcement to unite in a common cause against this monster. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we've been seeing. And look, when I was a prosecutor, you know, one thing that comes to mind is the police on the ground, they're the ones who are doing the interviews, you know, going to the site visit, that kind of thing. And sometimes they get really excited with evidence they found, and they think that the case is stronger than it perhaps might be. And the prosecutor comes in, you know, looks at the rules of evidence, looks at the law, and sometimes tempers that excitement. But that all happens behind closed doors, usually. That this is a conversation that is part of a, you know, a law enforcement coalition in investigating a murder. Here we have it very public, and now we have, my gosh, a lawsuit between those law enforcement entities that could cause a legal conflict in the case that could require, like, this different prosecutor's office to be involved in this. They could have to go back kind of to square one in that sense. So that they've really sort of shot themselves in the foot in terms of pursuing this from the law enforcement side.
Well, what on earth is there to gain by Eddie Vierden suing the district attorney? I know he's trying to make a point, but other than making a point or trying to bring attention that maybe the DA is not going along with what exactly Eddie believes, why? I mean, why sue? Why not just, you know, have your disagreement, try and find some common ground at some point, if in fact you are able to dig up enough evidence? I think if there was something solid there, the district attorney would be all about it. I don't think that he necessarily is going to say, well, screw you, you're not the guy I want to be sheriff anymore, so I'm going to ignore all these new pieces of evidence that are coming out, because thus far, we don't have anything. We have old pieces of evidence that really don't necessarily link a whole lot directly to BTK as of this moment. Will more come? That is a possibility. But as of now, why sue?
Yeah, you know, this is something that I talk about. We've got a civil practice here in Colorado in addition to our criminal practice. And when someone comes in and they tell me they want to sue somebody out of spite, or out of, you know, maybe they use the euphemism of principle, or they use some sort of language like that, like they really just want to get after somebody else, I tell them those almost never end well. They are almost always misguided. They are costly and problematic. And usually both parties end up worse off at the end. Mm-hmm. And so if this sheriff would have come to me with this idea, that likely would have been my response. In terms of bringing a lawsuit, like you said, you know, he kind of likes the attention, he likes the publicity. And is that, you know, a motivating factor? Could be. And maybe he does have some semblance of a legal claim against the prosecutor. But my gosh, for the sake of the public whom both those entities serve, and for the sake of saving face and preserving credibility with the public and that kind of thing, especially with an ongoing murder investigation, I think it was just a misfire by the sheriff entirely. Is this going to help him get reelected? Gosh, I don't know the political dynamics in his jurisdiction, but I would have to think not.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to really look at that and wonder, is this something that is going to be helpful? Typically in investigations or news stories. I mean, for example, when we're covering something, we don't want to make the story about us unless we're the ones that are directly involved in it. If you're an investigator, it's not about you. It's about serving the people that have been wronged here. And in this case, it's the surviving families of BTK. But at the same point, just weird statements coming out of Virden saying that Defendant Fisher's actions have also been cruel to the surviving families by dashing their hopes of bringing their family members, there's a killer, to justice. Everybody wants the killer to be brought to justice for this case or for any case. But if you are going down the road and you don't know that it truly is BTK, aren't you the one that are dashing the hopes of the family, or at least raising them to a bar that maybe shouldn't be there until you have enough evidence to say, hey, we really think that this is him? And I know they're saying that, but it feels more based on emotion than it does actual fact as of right now.
You know, excellent point, Tony. And, you know, let's look at this from the perspective of the victims' families for just a moment. Mm-hmm. You have this atrocity that stole unfairly your loved one forever, and you don't get any closure for half a century or so. And then, my gosh, there's a glimmer of hope, and there might be some evidence, and there might be a path towards, you know, putting this behind you and getting justice for your loved one. And then, oh, it's completely screwed over by infighting amongst law enforcement entities that, like I said, are doing far more damage to the investigation than they are helping it, and that are really almost locking in the likely outcome that nothing is going to come of this because they ruined it for themselves on the law enforcement side. If I were those families, I would just be heartbroken and talk about a roller coaster and being at the very bottom of it once again. That's where I think this infighting has left these families.
One can only hope they can work out their differences. And if there is something to be found, they find it. If there's not, just peacefully move away and not keep stirring the pot for these families who've been just in misery with their loved ones being deceased now for many decades. It can't be healthy or good for anybody to have this brought up over and over if it's not going to be going anywhere. But maybe it will. We'll have to wait and see.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.